up? Whoa, that's good, fam. Happy Wednesday, everybody. I hope you're having a good week. But per usual, it's about to get literally so much better because you have no idea. Y'all are about to be so hype. I'm sure you already saw on the name of this podcast who we have on, but it's everyone's best friends from afar. We have Angie and Ari from Girls Gone Bible. Welcome to the Whoa, that's good podcast.
Oh, Sadie, we are so grateful to be here. I just told you off camera a second ago that coming on Whoa, That's Good is a rite of passage. We're so grateful and we're so excited.
I know. I met you at the IF gathering and I told Angela, I go, I feel like I just met an angel.
Actually, I'm not kidding. We talked about it probably for a week afterwards. We kept saying, Sadie's special, huh?
That's like, so sweet.
But you are so special.
You're
and
it's pure.
You know you're special just watching you, and we've been watching you for a long time, loving you, adoring you, looking up to you for a long time. But then meeting you in person, like, you are so special. You really are.
So pure and just such an example for this generation, this young generation.
Gosh, that's so sweet. Y'all are the best, truly. That means so much. And it's so funny because the feeling was mutual. I just got in the car with my husband and I said, they are like the best. I feel like those are the type of people, I told them, those are the type of people you just want to have in your life. They're friends who are like rooted in scripture, going to encourage you and go to bat for you. Because when we saw each other, I was kind of opening up about some stuff and y'all were both like defending me. Like, we have been best friends forever. You're like, you don't mess with our girl. And I was like, where y'all been all my life?
We literally go, yo, come for Sadie. We're coming for you. We are not playing these games. Protect Sadie at all costs, no matter what.
You come for us, but you ain't coming for her.
That was so funny. Oh my gosh. I love y'all already. Y'all are just the best. And I can't wait to dive into a full podcast. And it's so awesome just to shout out what they're doing. If you haven't heard of Girls Gone Bible, first of all, you probably aren't even on social media because y'all are everywhere. Y'all's clips are getting shared everywhere and for the best of reasons. Because there are two girls who love Jesus and have, you know, spent the past however many months at starting the podcast getting the word, the gospel out. And so relatable, so fun, so real. And I'm so excited y'all started a podcast because I've been doing a podcast for 5.5 years now. And I love podcasting because I feel like, you know, in this world of social media where there's like sound bites and clips and this and that, and it's so fleeting and fading, and then tomorrow's a whole new thing. Podcasts are something where you get to sit down and you get to like intentionally have time to listen and have a conversation and hear the heart behind things and actually understand a person. And you guys being vulnerable enough to share your hearts with the world is such a gift, and your love for Jesus. And so I can't wait to dive in. But for the rite of passage of Whoa, That's Good, I always ask everyone the same question that comes on this podcast to kick us off. And y'all can both answer it. If you don't know the question I'm going to ask, sorry, it hits you hard sometimes. But the question of the Whoa, That's Good podcast is, what is some of the best pieces of advice that the two of you have ever been given?
I love that question.
You can go first.
Are you sure? Yeah. Okay, so I love this question so much. And obviously, so many different things can come to mind. But what really hit me, and it's something that I heard, it's kind of a two-parter. It's something that I heard when we first started the podcast. And the first part is that revival starts with you.
Yep.
And the second part is that if you seek revival, you'll get performance. But if you seek Jesus, you'll get revival. And
good.
When we first started the podcast and we stepped into ministry, and it was our first time stepping into ministry, we didn't even really know that that's what we were doing. We just knew that we loved Jesus and we wanted to talk about it. I found myself, because I always, the closer that I got to Jesus, the more that I loved people. But coming into ministry, something literally changed within me. Something was awakened that I didn't even know was in me. Now I really loved people and I really love God's people and I really love bringing people to Jesus. Sadie, I love evangelism. I love teaching. I had no idea what these things even were, but I love it. I have a heart for it. But even though these things come from such a good place and it's pure and God sees that, I still can't love these things more than I love Jesus.
It's true.
And so I kind of found, and you can probably speak to this, I found myself in this tension of, it's like a dance of having to balance ministry with my own relationship with Jesus, and that like he and I's relationship come first. And sure. Because I found myself the ministry and the people in our audience and our, we call them our friends. They became my life. They took over my life and my heart. But again, I just had, it was a constant thing. And God was so gracious with me and gently would just be like, this is about me and you right now.
Yeah.
You're studying to know me, not to go teach.
Yeah.
So we had this whole thing. And then the second part of it where, you know, if you seek revival, you're going to get performance. It's not going to be genuine and it's not going to be effective. But if the point is that we're looking for Jesus and we're bringing people Jesus, revival is going to happen no matter what. And so that's been our whole thing this whole time, is just keeping Jesus truly and genuinely at the forefront of everything we do and making sure that we are so solid with him and just letting our lives be just a like to exemplify him and be a living testimony of this is what happens when you know Jesus.
It's great. Mm-hmm. It's so good. It's so evident, like when you speak, it's overflow of what he's already doing in you. And it's so true. When revival is happening in you, it's not that you have to perform. It just overflows out of you. If it's in you, when you begin to speak, it says in the word, from the heart, so the mouth shall speak. When I started actually my podcast, I wrote that verse out and put it in my closet because I'm like, okay, this is really convicting. And this is probably the best accountability I can have for myself, because if I'm going to have a microphone in front of me and I'm going to speak all the time, then from my heart, that's what my mouth is going to say.
Yeah.
And so when you have revival in your heart, the overflow is so beautiful. And I remember walking through that years ago where I was like, and I still do. I mean, I still wrestle with that balance of, you know, doing the ministry and loving the ministry and loving the people and loving the thing and mm-hmm. making sure that God's at the forefront. But I always think about when Jesus had that conversation with Peter in John 21, and it's after Jesus had returned and Peter and them are out fishing, and he comes out and they recognize it's Jesus, and Peter jumps out of the boat and he can't even get to Jesus fast enough. And they're about to have this breakfast together. And this is before Jesus is about to really call Peter into the ministry that Peter's going to live out. And he says to Peter, before any of that, he says, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord. And then he says, feed my sheep. And then he says it again, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Feed my sheep. And he said again, do you love me? And Peter's frustrated. He's like, you already asked me, do you love me? Yes, I love you. And he says, okay, feed my lambs. And then he says, because the time's going to come where it's going to get hard. And I love how before he calls him into ministry, before he says, go do something for me, he establishes that he loves him, that they have a relationship. And it's the same thing with us in ministry. Like sometimes you just have to have breakfast with Jesus and have the moment of like, hey, I love you, before I go do anything for you, before I go do the things that are going to be hard, the things that are going to come at me, the things that are going to make this hard to do, like, because I love you, I'm going to be able to do them. And same thing kind of happened with Jesus. There's a book called Anonymous. If y'all haven't read it, you should totally go read it. It's an incredible book. And it's kind of about this idea. And it's this idea that before you do anything for the Lord, he loves you right where you're at. And it's even like when Jesus got baptized, before Jesus did any public ministry, you know, God says, like, this is my son whom I love. So he's like, I love you before you do anything. And so it's such a good reminder when you're in ministry to make sure that your love for Jesus, like, far, you know, outweighs the love for the ministry, because it's from your love of Jesus that you're going to do the ministry. So I love that you share that, because it's super relatable to me. And I've studied a lot of that because I've wrestled with that. So that's great. Ari, what about you? What's your best piece of advice you've been given?
My best piece of advice would be read the Bible and don't just read it, live it. I was introduced to the Bible about a year ago. And when I opened it, for the first time in my life, my eyes were opened up to the truth. And those pages gave me hope and they gave me a safety that I always lacked in my life. I didn't have that growing up. And so it says in John 9, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And it wasn't until I really laid down my life of everything I thought I knew, and I let the sin die, and I stopped living of the world, is when I was set free. And that's when I really got to enjoy the fruits of the Spirit.
Wow.
I was free. I was set free after that.
You know, I know it can be so difficult as parents sometimes to make all the decisions we need to make for our children. But when it comes to your formula, I hope to help you right now because A2 Platinum makes that decision so much easier for what your kids are going to drink. A2 Platinum is a nutritionally complete formula with all the key ingredients needed to support growing babies. It's made from fresh, pure A2 milk from cows that naturally produce only the A2 protein. You can feel great about giving A2 Platinum to your little one because safety and quality have always been A2's top priority. It's why they have a flawless track record of zero recalls and received the Clean Label Project Purity Award. A2 Platinum has been trusted by parents all over the world for more than a decade. And the first time we tried A2 Platinum, literally the first time, Haven loved it. She sucked that bottle down. She loved it so much. And I was like so surprised because sometimes when you change formula, it can definitely be an adjustment for your baby, but Haven loved it. And actually, after giving her A2, we went back to the other formula because we just had some extra and she did not like it as much. She wanted the A2. And so we definitely had a great experience with it. A2 Platinum is a smart choice for your little one. And right now, as one of my listeners, you'll get 25% off your first purchase when you order using my exclusive URL, a2platinum.com/whoa. This is an amazing deal. Don't wait. Order now with the letter A, the number 2, platinum.com/whoa, W-H-O-A. That's a2platinum.com/whoa. It's so funny because right before y'all, I did another podcast and like the whole podcast, we talked about that verse. So that's so cool.
Wow, really?
Yes, because we were talking about just in the culture we live in, you know, everyone saying like, live your truth. And it's just kind of this fake, this, I guess, false message of your truth will bring you freedom. Your truth will set you free. But the whole podcast, we were like, that's just not true. Because when Jesus said it, like, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. The reason it was powerful is because it was true. It was because he is the truth and he has, you know, the ability to set you free because he's the only one that overcame death. So like, that's where true hope is found. So the fact that that was the verse you read and you were like, yep, like I actually can find freedom in that is amazing. And one of the things I love about y'all is that, you know, you just shared, you started reading the Bible a year ago and you guys, you came to the Lord and then you're like, we got to tell people about this. And I think a lot of people, they have this fear that like they have to have it all figured out before they start the thing, you know, like I remember when I started preaching feeling like so unqualified because I'm like, I don't know the word. I don't feel like I know it enough. Like I didn't go to school for this. I didn't go to theology school or whatever. And I still face that fear sometimes. Like at Passion this year, when I was overviewing the Bible, I just felt like, oh, I'm the worst person to do this. Like everyone else preaching is like an actual pastor and like went to school for this. And I just love the word and I read the word and then I share what I read and I love. And I feel like y'all are the same way. How did you guys overcome that fear of feeling like you had to get to a certain point to start a podcast? And how did you just do it?
You go ahead.
I mean, it's been, first of all, I was at Passion and I heard your message and it was absolutely life-changing. It was one of the most impressive things that I have ever seen in my life. And you should be so proud of yourself. Mm-hmm. And you are, if you're not qualified, we're all doomed.
Yeah, we're all doomed.
You are truly unbelievable.
You are.
But, so it's been such a crazy journey, Sadie. Just like Ari was saying, I mean, everything that we do is really based on the fact, like every single episode, we have this whole segment where we just beg people to start reading the Bible. And we're like, please do not rely on this podcast or other podcasts. Open it up yourself. That's what's going to change your life. And the truth, like you said, I love what you said because we talk about it all the time, the whole my truth thing, because what is truth if it's subjective?
Yeah.
Then there's no truth.
Yeah.
You know, so when we first started the podcast, I guess we would kind of have to go back to the very beginning because, you know, we've had a whole evolution in our own lives. It's been a long journey. I guess I can start with saying, so I started reading the Bible. I've been a Christian my whole life. I grew up Catholic. My mom, I would describe her as a spirit-filled Catholic. She loves Jesus so much. Her mom loved Jesus so much. My mom grew up in communist Albania where they weren't even allowed to be openly Catholic. So she didn't read a Bible until she was like 24 years old, I think, for the first time. but went her whole life loving Jesus still. She had the Spirit of God within her. She didn't know the word. And so I went throughout my life loving Jesus so much, never opened a Bible. I didn't know what it said. I love Jesus so much, but it didn't really affect the way I lived my life. I was not rooted in truth. I wasn't rooted. I knew about sin. I knew some things that it said to do and not to do, but I thought that God loved me and I could just do whatever I want. You know, that's just the way I live my life. And I was not in an environment where biblical values were taught. So I, again, loved Jesus. I would go to church all the time, a really prayerful person my whole life. But then when I got into my 20s, I moved to LA when I was 18. When I got into my 20s, I developed horrific anxiety, like very, very bad panic attacks. I would describe it as like I was living in a 24-hour state of heightened anxiety. It got so, so bad that I got to the point where I tried medication. I tried meditation. I tried everything. I eventually started to self-medicate with alcohol because it was the only thing that I knew to do. And it's the only thing that made me feel better. And so when this is all happening, I mean, if anybody has ever drank alcohol, you know that it just will perpetuate the vicious cycle of anxiety. It makes you feel better for a second, and then you end up feeling a million times worse. And it just went on for such a long time. God then put somebody in my family's life. He's my pastor in Florida. His name is Socrates. He's a 70-year-old man who loves Jesus so much. And the first time I ever met him, he told me, he was like, "You're going to talk to millions of people about Jesus and you're going to do this and that." And I was like, okay, yeah, well, I don't know if you're talking to the right person. He called me every single day and I opened up to him about what I was dealing with, the alcohol, the anxiety, and he prayed for me every single day for probably 6 months. And my mom would pray for me every single day. I would be having panic attacks and I would call my mom all the way from LA to Florida and she would just be yelling, praying for me on the phone. Like it was a really, really tough time. But then I think it was, you know, the effects of so many prayers from so many different people on my life. Thanksgiving 2019, I put the alcohol down and I never picked it back up again. That's the day I like to describe that I got saved, because I didn't even know necessarily what happened. I did not know that God stepped in on my behalf and delivered me from this thing supernaturally, because I think sometimes God will work with you on some things and you lay it down together. I think sometimes he just has to come rescue you. And he stepped in and he saved my life, truly saved my life. And then I went about a year probably still dealing with anxiety. But then over time, Socrates, he would call me and just beg me to read the Bible. And I'd be like, "Socrates, I just need you to pray that this anxiety goes away." He's like, "If you read the Bible, the anxiety will go away." And I was like, "That's weird. That doesn't make any sense, that words on a page are so alive and they're so powerful that they'll actually do something to you supernaturally." And so I, you know, over time, Socrates started teaching me about the authority that I have through Jesus, about the, you know, about spiritual warfare, about how these things are psychological, but they're also spiritual. And these are all things that you can pray for and pray against. Long story long, I start praying for myself for the first time. I start just declaring things over myself. I start just really coming out of agreement with anxiety and all the things that I was dealing with. And then when I was 25, probably 2.5 years ago, I walked into a non-denominational church for the first time. It was Mosaic, actually. Erwin was preaching. Yeah. And then I look up at the screen and I see scripture from the book of John. And I remember, I'll never forget the way that it's as if I read the scripture and I saw Jesus. And I made the correlation of like, that's literally Jesus right there. Like those words are Jesus. And then so I go home, I open the Bible for the first time. I start reading John, Sadie. It was over. Yep. I will never go back. I will forever be the weird Jesus girl, because I just fell in love. It changed me in an instant.
Wow. Y'all, I know in this day and age with technology, the way that it is, social media, all the things, it can be hard to make sure that, you know, you are staying safe in it and also your kids and your family. Technology is here to stay, friends, and it's super important that we figure out ways to navigate it safely and in a healthy way. So I'm so excited and grateful for Covenant Eyes and the mission that they are on and how seriously they take it. Covenant Eyes isn't just another software to download and forget about. It's a game changer for protecting your family in the digital world. Covenant Eyes provides both filtering and accountability for all your devices, and it can help block harmful content and encourage healthy online habits. But what truly sets Covenant Eyes apart is its focus on accountability. So you'll partner with a trusted friend or family member and receive regular reports of your internet activity, creating a space for open conversations and support. I think this is really super important. I love the accountability aspect that Covenant Eyes has. I know that that's an intimidating thing because you're inviting someone else into your space, but friends, that's what you need. You need someone to come in to be able to help you and to be able to walk you through it. So choose someone that you know will not shame you, who will truly support you and be a friend to you. This would be a great thing to get started. I think it would be super helpful and transformative in your life. So whether you're a student, a spouse, or a pastor, Covenant Eyes empowers you to make wise choices online and stay true to your values. So if you're ready to take control of your online experience and protect what matters most, then I highly encourage you to check out Covenant Eyes. Visit covenanteyes.com/Sadie and you'll get a free 30-day trial. Again, that's covenanteyes.com/Sadie to try it for free for 30 days. Come on, that's a good place to start too, John. That's one of my favorite books. And I just love that. Like, I love how your story, you know, I think for so many people, we're searching for something to help us get through the anxiety, get through the alcohol, get through the thing. And like you said, like you had tried meditation, you tried medication, you tried all of it. And then It like comes down to the nitty gritty of like, have you prayed? Like, have you read? Have you surrounded yourself with mentors and a mom who understands what you're going through, who's going to pray alongside of you and go to war with you? Like, have you opened up? And I think so many times it's like Jesus is our last resort when he is the first and only place that you truly find the freedom. Not that you can't also find, you know, help through medication, and you can find help through meditation. You can find help through it, and that's not a bad thing, but that's not where you find true healing. That's not where you find the true freedom. And so, yes, you know, do what you need to do in those moments. But at the end of the day, like if you want to find freedom, I love how you point straight to where the freedom is found and just making that personal, like, these words, they're active and alive because they were spoken from a God who is active and alive, like who's alive today. So that's why they still hold weight and hold power. And I love your story so much. That's so, so powerful. I have so many questions for the both of you. All right. Do you want to share a little bit about your background and your story? What led you to, you know, starting to read your Bible a year ago?
Yeah, of course. Well, a little backstory on me. I have a little bit of an opposite story. I didn't know who God was at all. I mean, I grew up Catholic, but I had no idea about him, or I didn't grow up in a household of faith. I would say that I had to grow up really fast. My mother, she suffered a lot in her heart, and so I had to raise my sister and my dad raised me. I grew up around a lot of drugs and alcohol, and so I always looked at how I grew up and I always said, I want to be everything but this.
Yeah.
And so I did the opposite of what I saw. So I said, I don't want to be mentally stuck. I don't want to revert to drugs and alcohol. And so I grew up super fast. I raised my sister. I wanted to give her the best life that I could. And I moved out of my hometown at a very young age and moved to LA. I would describe the way I lived my life was on my own might and my own strength. And when you grow up like that, it's hard. And it's, I would say, comparable to living in hell. And I don't know if you've ever, if you know this, but like that feeling of just always being in fight or flight, having just knots in your stomach and just, I was just always in a panic and fear because that's what I watched growing up. I didn't know faith. I didn't know we had a God that we could lean on and that would help us and protect us. So growing up, I always saw well, just keep your head down and keep going. We'll just get over it. If something happens, we have to worry and struggle. And so that's all I saw. And so when I was on my own, I just kind of was just trucking through life. And, you know, I dealt with unworthiness and overbearing thoughts. And, but I really just did my best to get through and to make something of myself. And I just wanted, again, wanted to be everything I wasn't growing. I saw that was growing up. And so fast track, I was in a 3.5 year relationship, and it was a little, it was after COVID. And I would say that my career was my life. I, again, just wanted to be something. And I loved this person with all my heart, and I trusted this person with all my heart, and I had my faith in it. And I also had my faith in my career. And it ended really abruptly. And at the same time, I lost the relationship that I felt so safe in and I was so sure about. I had lost my career. And on top of that, I was experiencing a ton of other losses. And so when you have your faith and identity into something and then it gets ripped from you, I had been through so much in my life, but this broke me. Like I can't even quite describe to you how broken I was. It was disassociation. It was, I when I think about it, I still can remember the exactly what happened. Like, I just remember being in my room in fetal position and my hands were over my head and I would just be rocking back and forth. And I was just like, please, like, get these thoughts out of my head. Like, they were overbearing so bad. My emotional pain was so severe that it became physical. I remember laying in my shower and the water was just beating down on my head, and I would just lay there for hours, just disassociated. And I tried everything. I tried the Lucky Rock. I tried the meditations.
The Lucky Rock.
I tried everything. I mean, I was desperate. I was hungry. I needed help. And no one could get through to me. I mean, my friends back at home, all of my friends in LA had moved away. So I was in this isolation just by myself. And my family was just like, I don't know. I don't know if you're going to come out of this. And I'll never forget it. I couldn't eat. I couldn't process food. I couldn't function. The thing is when your heart is so sick, your whole system shuts down. It's just, the only way I can describe it is I was dead just trying to survive. Like, yeah. I was dead. And so I was driving one day and I saw this little church by my house and I was so frail and I was just so dead. And I just, like, I saw it and I don't know what made me pull in, but I did. And I pulled into this church and I walked in. I'll never forget it. No one was in there. And I just fell to my knees and I looked up and I just was like, God help me. I didn't even know what I was saying. Things were coming out of me that I had never shared with anyone.
Wow.
But in that moment, I had felt this love that no one has ever provided me. Wow. For me, a safety. Like, it was like a parent had took me in his arms and made me feel safe.
Wow.
And I didn't have that. I never felt safe. And he made me feel so safe to just bleed out everything.
Wow.
Because my whole life, I had to be tough. I had to be strong. I had to be the parent. And so I couldn't ever feel. And so for the first time, I was able to just get on my hands and knees and just feel and share and say, God, I need you. I don't even know what I'm saying. I don't even know who you are, but can you help me? Wow. Because I don't think I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to die and I'm scared. I am desperate. And Yeah, it was like, it was one of those moments that you can't explain. It was one of those supernatural moments that it was God. It was, and so I left there that day and I just remember being like, what was that? And so it was about 5 months of still living in hell, but I knew I wasn't going through that hell alone.
Yeah.
I knew I had a father that was walking beside me through it. And so I could walk, so I wasn't so easily shaken by it.
Yeah.
I was able to, you know what it was? When I left there, I wasn't like going by my own mind. I became obsessed with what just happened to me in that church. And so I remember it. I was just like, I was looking up sermons and I would just watch sermons all day and I just wanted to know everything.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what I had just experienced. And then I was going to church and I wasn't so tough anymore.
Yeah.
I was able to let my guard down. I remember going to church all by myself. And you know how there's a prayer team at the front?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't care because I just needed help so bad and I knew it was working and I would run to the front. I didn't care who was watching me. I would run to the front and I would just ask these people, hey, can you pray for me?
Yeah.
And they would lay hands on me and they would be praying for me and it was healing me.
Yeah.
And I had never had that. I had never had a Christian community. I had never had I've never experienced anyone praying on me, right?
Friends, sometimes life is complicated, but that also helps us appreciate times when they're simple, right? Well, taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it definitely can be simple. Christian and I love the simplicity that AG1 offers when it comes to meeting our daily health goals. That's why we've been drinking it for years. It's just one single scoop into water every day, and it makes you feel so focused, energized throughout the entire day, or at least that's how it makes me feel. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. I really don't like taking a bunch of pills or mixing and matching different powders. It's just too complicated. And that's why AG1 is the best because it's an all-in-one solution that gives me the mental and physical health benefits without all that hassle. It takes less than 60 seconds to, you know, make, and it's giving your body everything that it needs for the day. And it's so easy to maintain this healthy and sustainable habit. I actually already drank my AG1 this morning. And, you know, we decided to try AG1 again because I don't like taking a handful of vitamins and pills, although I know that would probably be good for me. It's just a little too much for me. And so I was like, okay, this is very doable. And also, I'm not going to lie, I don't like things that taste bad. So I was like, that is very green. I'm not sure if I'm going to like it, but it's actually delicious. I love it. I truly enjoy it. I pack that cup full of iced water, put the AG1 in, and it is the best. So if there's one product that I would have to recommend to elevate your health, that would be AG1. And that's why we've been partners with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/woe. Again, that's drinkag1.com/woe to check it out today.
I'm in this thing now where I'm like, I found God, right?
Wow.
And so no one could understand what was happening. And so I just, every day I would go to this little church on where I was having this encounter with Jesus. And I would say, and I was almost like a child. Like anytime that pain would come, I would run and I would say, Jesus, I need you. Put your arms around me. And he always came through for me.
It's great.
And so during that time, I would just sit in that church and I would say, Jesus, I need someone to do life with. Could you bring me someone? Could you, I don't know who it is, if it's a partner, if it's a friend, but I need someone who understands what's going on right now, who can help me, who can lead me. Can you help me? And, that just brings me to her. Was it 4 months?
I don't know. November?
It was November. It was on my birthday on November 9th. I believe it was 4 months later. And I was at a job. And you know when you're like, you're trying to be okay, but you're fighting back the tears?
Yep.
I was getting my makeup done and I said, hey, do you think I could have a second? And I went in the corner of the room and I just was weeping. It was a really, really tough day for me. I was in pain. And I'm like trying to not let anyone see me, and I'm crying. And I feel someone take my hand and I look, and it was her. And she looks at me and she says, hey, what's your name? And I said, Ari. And she said, look at me. She said, I don't know what you're going through right now, but we're going to get through it together, okay? And I looked at her and I swear it was like God said, you know what? Not only am I going to heal you and I'm going to make this thing better, I'm going to bring someone into your life that is going to bring life back to you, that is going to breathe life back into you.
Wow.
And that's what he did. And anytime I have doubts in my life, I look at her and I say, it all makes sense.
Wow.
She just, I mean, she has been the biggest blessing in my life.
Wow.
I mean, she was the start to my faith. She had already been deep into her faith a couple of years. And so I still had, because the thing is I was having encounters with God, but I had just known this was all new to me. So it was really hard for me to lose control, to just say, hey, have it your way in my life. It was really hard. And so I still was controlling my life. And so I still just had the overbearing thoughts. I still was struggling. And so she came into my life and just helped me with that.
Yeah.
She is what introduced me to the Bible. I remember saying, Angela, I'm really struggling. And she said, give me a month. We're going to start reading the Bible. And the thing I love about Angela is that she didn't have to, I mean, anyone who had met me would have ran for their life, because I was really hard to deal with. No, I was mentally unwell. I mean, I really was. And you know what she says? I'm calling her, and this is like 3 days in of us being friends. And I'm saying, I don't think I'm going to make it. I am just struggling. And she said, all right, that's okay. We're going to get through this thing together. And I'm like, we're cut from the same cloth. She gets it. Like, she just made me feel so safe.
Yeah.
And every single morning, Sadie, you have no idea. She sat with me and she was so patient with me. We started with John. She would just explain everything, little thing to me. She would pray for me. Why don't you tell the story about how we first started watching The Chosen? That's what we started with.
Yeah. First of all, Ari is the best person in the world. It was with like the most joy in my heart that we went through this thing together. Excuse me. As soon as we met, I loved her so much. And I just knew, you know, when God puts you to be friends with somebody, it's expedited and it's immediate. And that's just what we had. And it's just so funny. The moment that I said, we're going to get through this together, I had no idea that like we really would be getting through everything together for probably the rest of our lives. But I love the moment that because I went to Ari and she actually said to me, hey, I think I'm going to try getting on a little medication because I'm really struggling still. And again, there's a time and a place for everything where we love medication for when you need it and it works for so many people and it saves lives. But I knew in this situation, I had the answer. I had the key. I know that Jesus is a healer. And so I said to her, give me a month. Let's read the Bible and see if that changes things for you. And sure enough, it changed things for her.
Wow.
And before we even started reading the Bible, because in our first conversation, I think I shared my faith and she was like, oh, I love Jesus too. I'm starting to know Jesus too. And so she and I were both going through breakups at the time. I was going through a breakup. We swore off men. We were like, we're done. We're not, you know, we're really like, we're going to take a long time being single, whatever. And then, so I'm like, we're having sleepovers every night and we start watching The Chosen. I'm like, you got to watch The Chosen. You haven't read the Bible yet, but like before we even start, watch The Chosen so you could put a face to the names and just like see it come to life on TV. We're watching The Chosen. And one of the first scenes is with Mary Magdalene and Jesus. And when Mary Magdalene comes and she's demon tormented and she's going through so much and she's really, really suffering and nobody can help her. And Jesus comes in The Chosen, in the series, he puts his hands on her head and he says, "You are mine." And in that moment, she's completely free from everything that she's going through. And there was a moment where Ari and I, we used to always do this where like she would be like in the shower and I'd be like on the bathroom floor. And so we're sitting there and she's just like, she's struggling. And I think she's probably maybe crying. And she says to me just like so weakly, she goes, "Ange," I said, "What's up?" She goes, "Do you think that Jesus would heal me the way he healed Mary Magdalene?" And I was like, "Yeah, 100% he will. Just ask him." And then she just so quietly and just, it was just this moment of full surrender. She goes, "Jesus, I'm asking you if you could please heal me the way you healed Mary Magdalene." And it was just like really the start of her. If you see Ari reminds me exactly of the woman with the issue of blood, who she knew that truly if she could simply just touch the hem of his garment, she would be healed. Ari knows that if she couldn't get close enough to Jesus, she also will be healed. And if she stays close enough to him, she can stay healed, because there are things that unfortunately can and most likely will come back if you separate from Jesus.
Right.
And so, yeah, that was just our whole journey. And then we just, you know, it was so easy for me because I had somebody who walked hand in hand with me, who essentially discipled me, my friend Socrates that I told you about. And if I could have any wish for everybody in the world, it's that they all had somebody to walk hand in hand with them. Because it's hard when you're doing it on your own and you need someone to lead you like that. And not everybody knows to go to church. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Man, y'all, this is like, what y'all just unpacked in your stories was literally like the message of the gospel. As you taught, like scripture after scripture came to mind as you told your story. And that is the message of the gospel, that Jesus came, that he died on the cross, that he was buried, he rose again. And because he rose again and went back up, he gives us that same opportunity and welcome into resurrected life. And so when you were talking about like you were walking around dead, like, that is where Jesus does his work. Like, he's the one that brings the dead to life, and the resurrection happens before, you know, the however we get to heaven, the rapture, the end time, whatever it is, however that looks like, and whatever God does with that. It happens before that. It happens now. It happens when you spiritually feel dead and Jesus captures your heart and resurrects it to life. It happens when you surrender to that, until you take part in that, until you believe that. It made me think your story about how Jesus says, unless you become like the little children, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And how you said, I just felt like a kid. I just wanted to run to the front. I didn't care. I wanted to be in the arms of God. Like, scripture after scripture came to mind because your testimony was just the power of the gospel. And the beautiful thing about that is that, friend, whoever's listening to this podcast, that's the same invitation that you have. That's the same story that you've been invited into, just like Mary Magdalene, just like Ari, just like Angela, just like myself. It's the story of Jesus and all of us. That's why it's called the gospel's the good news, because it's good news for everybody. Y'all, I love summertime. It is my favorite season, and I'm so excited to jump back in. We are approaching the best time of the year. But no matter what your summer looks like, KiwiCo invites kids and kids at heart to enjoy their first summer adventure series. Kids can receive 6 hands-on science and art project kits over 6 weeks, no matter what their age is, with enriching activities that accompany each project. KiwiCo has something for everyone, with different topics for each age, from space to dinosaurs and so much more. I am so excited about the summer series. We actually are getting this little driver that I know Haven is going to love because it's a little steering wheel and she loves anything active. And also a little like neighborhood fun one where they have a water paint thing, which is so good because it's not going to make a mess. And Honey is so into painting right now. And painting with a 3-year-old, yeah, that's just hard. So I'm excited for the no mess. KiwiCo offers kids a chance to get outside and explore screen-free with projects like the Bottle Rocket Kit from the Summer Adventure Series. They can turn the outdoors into a playground of learning and fun. Every summer adventure series with KiwiCo is a personalized experience that includes real engineering, science, and art projects. And you'll be impressed with how high quality all the materials are. Everything we've gotten from KiwiCo has been absolutely amazing and such high quality. I know sometimes it can be hard to find creative, engaging ways to keep your kids away from the screens and just having fun, but KiwiCo does the legwork for you so you can focus on spending fun and quality time tackling projects together. The KiwiCo Summer Adventure Series is personalized to your family and can be received all at once or weekly for 6 weeks, depending on your schedule. If you like it all at once, that's great, or space it out a little bit. Build the best summer ever with KiwiCo. Get 20% off your summer adventure series at kiwico.com/SadieRobSummer. That's 20% off your summer adventure at KiwiCo, KiwiCo.com/SadieRobSummer. And I think, like, as you're telling the story, I feel like I was thinking about Christian movies, right? Because you're like, I saw this little church and I went in, and it kind of like brings your mind to this, like, oh, this feels like a movie, you know, where you go in and like you're on your knees. But Christian movies, like, sometimes they come across cheesy, and it's unfortunate because there's nothing cheesy about it. And this is like what Christian movies like miss a lot of times, is just the grittiness of the before. And it doesn't always show like how hard it is. Like you're saying, like, I was trying a lucky rock. Like, I was trying anything. Like, I needed hope. I needed someone to save me. Like, I was dead. And then you found hope in Christ. But then it didn't just, you know, with a turn of a scene and music, Christian music behind it. No, it was like 5 months later, you were still walking through the hard thing. And it makes me think about in Psalms, like, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, like, first of all, that's a really fun verse to quote and a hard one to live through. Like, yeah. I'm not like, even if I walk, even though I walk, like, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It feels like death. Your rod and your staff, they will comfort me. Like, that's what you experience. Walking through the shadow of death, his comfort, his guidance, it came on you and it guided you. And then you go, Jesus, this is awesome. You're great. You're amazing. You're everything I need. But could you bring me a friend? Could you bring me someone else to do this with? And then he's like, I got you. Here's your girl. But you know what is like so cool is that I actually experienced so many similar things. Like, not even just, I mean, yes, the grand scheme of the gospel, same thing. But me and my best friend, Lainey, we met in almost like an identical way. Y'all are not going to believe this. So I had just gone through a breakup. She had gone through a breakup of like 4 years. Hers was a lot worse than mine. She was like struggling, and we both ended up being on the same tour. I was speaking. She was a hip hop backup dancer. She was like so cool. I was like, this girl is crushing it. And we were like the only two girls on the tour that were kind of the same age. So I like saw her in the hallway. Hello, hello, waved, all that stuff. Then that night, it was like first night of tour, she came and like knocked on my dressing room. And at the time, I was not quite as spiritual, I guess. I was literally getting ready to preach, and I was just trying to like shake the nerves out. So I was dancing. I literally had like music on, not even Christian music. And I was just like getting it all out and like trying to not be nervous. Now, you know, I have worship and pray and all the things, but this was years ago. And so I'm like getting all my nerves out. She knocks on the door, turned on the music, opened the door, and she's just crying, like literally crying so hard. I don't know her. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like I hug her. I'm like, come in, like whatever you're going through, same thing. Like, I'm with you. Like, we're on this tour together. We're gonna get through this together. And she shares what she's going through, this breakup. And I kind of share a little bit of what I'm going through, and we bond, and like instantly, I mean, like you said, Jesus expedite things. Like, he's the God that turned water into wine. Like, that should not happen. That should take a long time. Expedited process. Like, it was that with our friendship. It was like so close. And then we did everything together. We studied the word together. We did everything together. We did YouTube together. We did Instagram together. We did everything. And now actually it's so cool because we started praying that like we would meet our husbands at the same time. And it was so crazy because this would get
did you?
Okay. Literally, y'all will not believe this. Yes. Two, it's crazy. So when I met Christian, we were all together at the beach and we had swore off dating. And so she was mad at me because she was like, don't even talk to him. Don't even look at him. Because I immediately thought he was very attractive and was like, oh, shoot, maybe I'm not swearing off dating because, wow. And then she was like, no, no, no. She's trying to keep me to it. Well, of course, me and Christian ended up kind of being together. Well, when we went on our first date, we did this, like, we went to a concert and we invited a bunch of friends so we could, like, all kind of get to know each other. She came and she was mad the whole time. She was annoyed that we were there. And she was like, I'm just going to go check out the surrounding. Like, she was just, like, joking. She's like, I'm going to go look. First guy she sees, she goes, he's cute. Well, we go up and talk to him and now that is her husband and is the, so they met on our first date and it's crazy because we got engaged 2 weeks apart, married 2 weeks apart. And then we had our first daughters 4 months apart and like our life just, it has been tracking truly when you said like, we'll probably go through it together for life. That is me and Lainey. Like, wow. And it was so cool because when we met, it was like, we were so close and everyone would be like, how long have y'all been friends? Thinking we were like best friends forever. So we like jokingly cropped like baby pictures together, even though we had just met. We were like, just like being dumb. We're like, oh, we've known each other our whole life. But now we've been friends for like 6 years, 7 years. And we're like, man, we really got some time under our belt now. But no, it's like so sweet. So as y'all are talking, it just makes me smile because I'm like, God is so good. And this is what God does. So if you're sitting here listening to this podcast and you're like, you feel lonely. You don't have a friend. You need that friend. Like, truly ask Jesus to bring that friend. And as you live out your life for Christ, it's like a magnet. Like other people who are living their life to Christ, like y'all will become like attracted. Like you'll meet each other. You'll see each other doing the thing. And like she saw her crying and you said at the beginning, you had a love for people. So you go to her and you're like, hey, I'm going to help you. So as you live your life for Christ, you'll kind of meet people who love Christ and are doing the same thing. Yeah. As you plant yourself in church, go into Mosaic, as you start the Bible study, whatever it is, like God will help you meet those people. And sometimes your action in that is to put yourself out there, is to go up to the friend while you're crying, you know, and knock on the door of the dressing room when you're nervous, or to go up to the friend who's crying and get past the awkward, you know, I don't know you, but I'm with you, all those things. And so you do have a part to play. I actually saw y'all said this in one of your interviews or one of your podcasts, and I thought it was a really good point. You talked about when y'all started praying together for the first time, and you didn't use the word awkward, but it was essentially a little awkward. And I think that that's like a really good thing to note, that sometimes when you first start living your life for Christ, it's going to feel a little awkward, you know, like going and like praying with a friend. Can you just like give a little advice to people who have like never prayed with their friends before, never read the Bible, and is listening to this podcast and you're like, this sounds awesome, but like practically, how do I even bring this up?
Yeah, for sure. When it's just so funny because Ari and I's friendship is built on Jesus and it's also built on laughter. So any moment of silence between us is probably filled with laughter. So when we first started praying, it was just, we would just laugh. Like it was more funny than it was awkward, but I totally understand why people would think it would be awkward. But I just encourage you to know that when you pray and when you bring in the Holy Spirit into whatever you're doing, it will, even though it might be a little bit funny at first, everybody involved will feel the effects of that. And so it will bring you, you should see us, Sadie. If we came on, this is our studio where we record. If we came to this table and we didn't say a really serious prayer beforehand, we would hee hee ha ha for 2 hours. Like, you know what I mean? But as soon as we pray, it says everything. God, when you bring God into something, he just brings everything into order for you. Yeah. And so bring it to your friend. If you have like-minded friends, the thing about prayer that I've really noticed is that like you might feel awkward asking someone to pray for them, but there's almost never a situation where somebody doesn't want to be prayed for. Even selfishly, everybody wants a prayer. Even if they don't even know what prayer is, they're like, oh, yeah, that sounds like it might be good for my life. So people want you to pray for them. They might feel awkward for a second, but if you just get over that awkwardness, God will come through. And the more you do, it's just repetition as well. The more you practice, the more you do it, the more you ask, you'll gain the confidence and also understand you are doing a wonderful thing for Jesus. There's nothing to feel awkward about. And eventually the awkwardness goes away.
Yeah, for me, I would say like when people ask me how to pray, I say, it's not about what you say. It's just about your, prayer is about relationship.
Yeah.
He's our Father. We don't have to go and say, I don't know. I mean, I didn't even know how to pray. I didn't even know scripture or anything like that. But I knew that I loved him so much. And that's all you have to do. You come before him and you speak from right here.
Yeah.
And you come with the humility and you don't need to be perfect in your prayers. I always say that to everyone. You don't have to be perfect in your prayers. Come from your heart.
That's great.
And for me, like my goal and since I was a kid, I always wanted to help people. And so I know that when I'm praying for people, I want to help them. And so I hold their hand and I pray in the sense of, I want to help you. What are you going through? And I just speak from my heart. That's all you have to do. Speak like you're speaking to your dad. You don't have to say certain things right. You speak from your heart.
So good. And like, I love how you said it doesn't have to be awkward because you're doing a good thing. And I think you have to understand like what you're doing and the why behind what you're doing is going to help you do the thing. Because if your why is to impress people, then you're going to be nervous, you know? But if your why is to love people, well, there's no pressure in that. Like love is just the overflow. And so I love that you mentioned that because it's so true. And one of my favorite quotes, like best piece of advice, whenever I was probably in eighth grade, I was at this Bible study that my cousin was leading. And she said, 5 seconds of awkward can save you from a lifetime of regret. And that has stuck with me since middle school. And it is so true because when you feel like the Spirit compels you to do something, it's normally outside of your comfort zone, which is why it requires faith, because faith is the unknown. It's the confidence in the things unseen. It's like, okay, I'm going to have to step into this water that, you know, is a little murky. It's a little wavy, but God, you've called me, so I'm going to do it. But you also know like why I'm doing this, it matters so much. And actually sometimes it will be awkward. Like just to be honest, I actually had a situation recently where I met this person at a restaurant as a waitress and she was going through a lot and she had like a GoFundMe thing. And I was like, oh, I want to shout this out. But before I did that, I was like, I want to pray for her because when she gets all the GoFundMe stuff going, like when she sees all these people come in, like I want her to know that this is like the Lord. Like this is God's doing this. Like God loves you. God sees you. God's with you. So I just wanted to like establish that. And I asked her to pray. It was so awkward. Like she was like very hesitant, like, sure. And so I started praying for her and like I noticed because we had a kid, like a baby with us. It wasn't our kid. It was a friend's kid of ours. And the whole time she was like talking to the baby. Like you could tell she was like not wanting me to pray for her at all. And I was just like, you know what? This is important what I'm doing because I just wanted her to know. Like she didn't know that I was going to post about her GoFundMe. She didn't know that I was going to do that later. That was just something I knew I was going to do. But I was like, when she sees all this money come through, I don't want her to think that it's like a coincidence. And I don't want her to think that it was like me. I want her to know that this was the Lord. And so, you know, if you know your why, like if you know why you're doing it or because you really believe like God is the healer and he can heal, that's how I'm going to do it. It'll help you press past those super awkward moments that can definitely take place. But I wanted to ask you all that because I feel like y'all press past the uncomfortability of starting a podcast after, you know, maybe feeling like, oh my gosh, like there's so many things, but we're going to start right now. Like y'all press past the uncomfortability of constantly sharing your faith. You press past the awkwardness of you two becoming friends and the vulnerability that y'all have shared. Y'all have shared your lives with so many people. And it's such an inspiration to me, to everyone listening. And so I know our time's wrapping on this podcast and I truly could talk to y'all all day. Y'all are definitely going to have to come back on, but just thank y'all. Oh, I would love it. I know. We've been DMing a little and now we have each other's number. I'm making it happen.
Yes, we are.
Once we get there though, we're really going to have to pray because I am totally the laughter person too. And like, that's why y'all's podcast makes me laugh, because when y'all start laughing at like something someone said where it's like not supposed to be funny, but it was to y'all, I always feel like that is so me. So we might laugh our way through it. We might have to record for a while to really get the meat, but I'm totally coming. You guys are awesome. Thank you for coming on, for sharing your heart, your story with the world. And we appreciate it so, so much and inspired by the two of you and all that you're doing.
Thank
you. Sadie, we adore you. Seriously, God bless you. Thank you, Jesus, for you in your life that has truly, you just, your very presence exemplifies Jesus. And we are so grateful that we even had you to look up to. And I'm happy that all these girls have you to look up to. And if anybody is watching, if there's a role model that you want to take after, Sadie is the one.
She is the one.
Thank you, friends. Y'all are so sweet. Y'all are truly the sweetest. Well, I'm glad that y'all are in my life, and the feeling is definitely mutual. So thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Sadie. We're so thankful for you.